only diminished by our lack of trust.
My Lord.
Our unwillingness to give ourselves totally over to Him.
That's right.
He's given Himself totally over to us. Mm-hmm. What a relationship we would have with Him who is so powerful and so loving. And we just trust Him. Mm-hmm.
Trust Him.
I'd like you to turn your attention again to that scripture in the 9th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read 20-31 and then 35 and 51. And it says, and it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. He was radiant, white, glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And 35, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And 51, and it came to pass, and the time was come that he should be received, and sent up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I want to speak with you a little while to focus on my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
To focus on my salvation.
All right.
You know, as we look at the life of Jesus, we go through the scriptures, we can see there's so many beautiful things that he did. His life was a life that touched so many lives. He taught. And as he taught, he also stopped every now and then to heal somebody who was going through something. What a special life. As we look at the things that he did, every day of his life was something very, very special. But there was a day in his life that seemed to be more special than most.
Mm-hmm.
And that day was a day when he was out on the mountain and he was praying, and he had Peter and two other disciples along with him. And as he stood there and prayed, it seemed that his countenance changed.
Mm-hmm.
All of that spirit was on the inside, showing up on the outside. You see, we knew all along that he was the Son of the Living God. What we saw on the outside could not compare with what we knew he had on the inside.
Right? Mm-hmm.
He became a man for us. He became one of us so that he would be able to die and suffer for one of us as one of us.
Yeah.
But somehow on this day, it was a very special day, because on that day, things were going to change a little bit. Not that he was going to stop healing, and not that he was going to stop teaching, but this was a special day. There was something that was going to change, and something his focus was going to change now. Not that he wasn't always focused on all the things that the scripture said that he would do. He was throughout his life, but now he was going to be more focused on what he was going to do. And so there on the mountain,
John Williams. I'm just going to try to speak up so that you can hear what God's put on my heart to say. He'd have me to know that, have me to let you know that on that special day, when he was out there, Minister Cole. On that day when he was out there, some special things were occurring. You see, he was talking to the Lord, and I have no doubt that he was talking to the Lord about the things that he was going to do. You see, he came here for some special reasons. Yeah. And at the top of that list was my salvation.
That's right.
At the top of that list was going out to Calvary and dying for my sins and your sins. Mm-hmm. And somehow on that day, on that special day, while he was talking to the Lord, it seemed that Moses and Elijah came down. They came down from glory, and somehow they looked special. They were also glorified, just like Jesus. At this time, Jesus became glorified as well.
Right.
Somehow his raiment was white as snow. So there they were, Moses and Elijah and Jesus, standing together out there on the mountain. Somebody say, well, why did Moses and Elijah come by to talk to Jesus? Well, the reason that Moses and Elijah were there is because during this prayer, as he talked to Jesus, as he talked to the Father, his Father was reminding him of his major purpose, why he had come and what he was going to do.
Yeah.
And he sent Moses and Elijah down because, you see, Moses was the lawgiver. Mm-hmm. Moses is the one who told us what the will of God was. Throughout the scriptures, you can find where he showed us when folks did the things the way God wanted them done, that God blessed them. And when they went the other way, he punished them. And he let us know what the rules were and what God loved and what God hated. And throughout the scriptures, if you look, you'll find Moses described so many things. He told us what the law was.
Right.
He told us what God's will was.
Right.
So Moses was there. Mm-hmm. Because, you see, Jesus was going to be taking over for Moses. Because of the law had come, but Jesus was now going to take over. Somebody said, well, I thought Jesus came to destroy the law. Somebody said, we don't have to worry about the law anymore. No, no, no. Jesus said that he let us know that he didn't come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. And you see, the fact is that we had sinned so much, and we were so deep in sin. And all those things that Moses told us about, we didn't do them. But the way we were supposed to walk, we weren't walking that way. The way we were supposed to live, that wasn't like the way we were living. And somehow Moses listed all of those things, but Moses couldn't do anything about it. So the now was put into Jesus' hands. You see, Jesus was going to die to pay for all those sins that Moses told us about that we were still committing.
So
now Jesus is there talking to Moses, and Moses is reminding him that you're the only one who can clean this thing up. You're the only one who can make it all right. And then there was Elijah there too. You see, Elijah said, we already talked about this. We recognized a long time ago. Now I know if you talk about the prophets, somehow everybody sort of knows when you talk about prophets. Elijah's okay, but some of us know that there are other prophets that we sort of focus on a little bit more. Isaiah is one that I like to talk about more, but that's okay. All the prophets talked about Jesus. And so Elijah's there. He's the one who was, let's say, we've talked about it. We've let people know if they'll just read the scriptures, they'll realize that you were wounded, going to be wounded for the discretions of men, for the sins of men. You're going to die. You're going to be the one that's going to pay for all those sins. So Moses was there to talk about the laws, and Elijah was there to say, you're going to be fulfilling all the prophecies that said that you're going to be able to get us out of this mess that we're in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? There was another voice out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was God who said, this is my beloved son.
That's right.
This is the one who's... So we see the law, we see the prophecies,
uh-huh.
we see the love all coming together. Somehow all of that came together. That's who Jesus is. He's the fulfillment of the prophecies. He's the fulfillment of taking care of the fact that we can't take care of the law of ourselves. He took care of the punishment that was required by the law.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things. So there he was. And all this time he'd been teaching. He'd been teaching some powerful sermons.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been healing.
Mm-hmm.
He touched some folks who could not be healed otherwise. All the things that he did were important. But now he was going to focus on something different. Scripture says he turned his face toward Jerusalem.
That's right.
Jerusalem, where for during that short week, during those few days, he was going to go through so much. He knew exactly what was going to happen in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
But he turned his face and headed toward. He knew what he was going to go through when he got to Jerusalem. He knew that he was going to be beaten. He knew that he was going to go through all those things that were going to bring him down to the point where his tears would come to his eyes and blood would run down his face as he put a crown of thorns on his head and all the things that he knew he was going to have to drag across and be nailed to that cross. But he focused on it anyhow. Somehow he turned his attention away from so many. He was still healing. He was still teaching. He was still letting people know that God is God. But he was focusing on Jerusalem. He was focusing on the cross. He was focusing on the ascension back to glory. All those beautiful, for the joy that was in his heart, for the joy of my salvation, for the joy of knowing that he was going to bring me out of where I was, where you are, for the joy of knowing what was going to be able to happen because of his suffering and pain, for the joy, he had joy, you hear me? He was looking toward Jerusalem with joy because of what he was going to be able to accomplish for me and for you. He was looking toward Jerusalem with great joy in his heart, knowing that one day you and I would be able to walk down streets of gold because of what he was going to accomplish over in Jerusalem. He was on his way to Jerusalem. He was focusing on Jerusalem. He was focusing on my salvation. Jesus was focusing on you and me. Somehow, I suppose, when you think about it, because Jesus focused so much on what happened at Calvary, we need to take it a little bit more time focusing on what happened at Calvary. Because what happened at Calvary was he provided for me and for you, not salvation. No, no. He provided you an opportunity for salvation. You have to look to Calvary. You have to look to Jesus. You have to recognize what he did for you. You have to recognize who he is. You have to recognize he's the fulfillment of the law and the prophecy. You have to recognize he is the Son of the living God. You have to recognize that his death on Calvary paid for your sins if you'll only accept Calvary. If you'll only accept what happened out there during those few short days. All the pain he went through. When he was there with Elijah and Moses, he was focusing on the pain that he was going to go through, the suffering he was going to allow himself to be submitted to, because he wanted you to have an opportunity to be in glory. What a beautiful day it was out there. Out there to have Moses and Elijah have the words of God coming down from the sky out of the clouds. It was a beautiful time in his life, but he wasn't focusing on that day. That day was causing him to focus on Calvary.
All right.
He turned his face toward Jerusalem. He turned his face toward suffering and pain. He turned his face toward my salvation. He turned his face and his attention toward giving you an opportunity to have salvation. He focused on it. He recognized the need. He knew nobody could do it but him. Moses taught the law, but he couldn't bring us through. The prophets all talked about what would happen, but it wasn't them that could do it. God loved us so much that he made Jesus available to us to go to Calvary. Jesus loved us so much that he focused on the cross. He focused on Calvary. He focused on me. Me, sinful sinner that I am. You, who come up short every now and then too. He focused on us, knowing that only he had the ability to provide for us the opportunity for salvation. All we have to do is accept it. Focus on Calvary. Focus on Jesus. Focus on his suffering. Focus on his pain. Because it was all for you. He did it all for me and for you. His life, his time here on earth, focused on our salvation. Let us talk to God. Oh, our Father, our loving God. Father, we thank you so much that Jesus came into this world with so many special, beautiful talents and abilities. And he touched people with his healing hands. He taught them with his ability to speak in ways that could make those understand who may have had difficulty trying to see what the word really meant. So he taught and he touched. But Father, most importantly, he reached throughout and made a way for us. He reached out with his hands being nailed to the cross. He reached out, Father, willing to wrap those hands around us and to bring us closer to you. We thank you, Father, for Jesus.
Thank you.
We thank you, Father, that though he was here, there were so many things in the world that he could enjoy, so many things that he could see around him, but he focused on Calvary. He focused on making a way out of what was no way.
Yeah, yeah.
We thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for your love.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, for the law. We thank you for the prophecy. Mm-hmm. But, Father, we thank you for Jesus, who all those things are wrapped up in. Father, we know the law and the prophecy. That's your word, and he is the word. Thank you for the word. Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for salvation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you
for the fact that he was willing to carry a heavy cross.
Yes.
And he knew he was going to carry it.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Father, he was willing to carry that cross out to Calvary. He knew, Father, that he could put it down if he wanted to and call in legions of angels. Father, we're so glad that he carried on anyhow. Father, we realize that those who were nailing him to the cross, that they couldn't have done it if he had just waved his hand. They could have fallen down by the wayside. Legions of angels could have come in and changed the whole situation. But no, for the joy of my salvation, for the joy of me having an opportunity to be over in glory with him, for the opportunity of us having a relationship through that last through eternity, Father, he allowed himself to be beaten. He allowed himself to be nailed to the cross. He allowed himself to be put through all of that. Thank you, Father. He focused on the cross. He focused on my salvation. Father, I'm just focusing now on his love. And I thank you for it. In the precious name, the powerful, the adorable name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us all stand. Thank you.